Welcome to On Boys, real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men. We're your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net and Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Today's show is brought to you by Strike Club, a brand new line of acne-fighting skincare products for guys. Developed by a pediatric dermatologist, Strike Club products are simple, skin-clearing, non-drying, and environmentally friendly. Did we mention simple? Your son can use Everywhere Wash in the shower to clear acne and inflammation in one simple step. Try Strike Club today. Use ONBOYS discount code, O-N-B-O-Y-S, to save 10%. Go to strikeclub.com to place your first order. That's S-T-R-Y-K-E club.com. November is the month of Thanksgiving here in the States. It is also National Gratitude Month. And so many parents I hear are frustrated because their boys seem to them eternally ungrateful. No matter how much I do, they don't appreciate what I do. And the flip side I hear with that is entitlement. So many parents tell me that their sons are entitled. They feel like they should just have everything, and they have all of these things: parents who love them, a house, plenty of food, a PS4, friends to play Fortnite or Minecraft with, and the kids still don't come across as grateful. Do you hear the same thing?
I absolutely do. And I'm glad you brought in the entitlement piece because I hear that a lot. And of course, we want our kids to grow up to be kind and thankful for what they have. And yet it's one of those nebulous concepts that's like, how do we teach this? We can teach our little ones to say please and thank you. But then what do we do after that? What's right. The next steps? And like so many things that you and I talk about, Jen, there are no quick fixes. There's not just one formula for how do I make my son be more grateful?
You know, as we dug into this, I started feeling a little bit relieved because, of course, I see this with my own kids. My own kids can seem very ungrateful and very entitled. Although I will tell you, my youngest, the 13-year-old, says thank you a lot. Thank you for coming to pick me up from school. Thanks for giving me a ride to dad's house, which makes me feel good because he sees and appreciates it. But two things. When I ask people in my Facebook group about gratitude, what questions do you have? How do you teach it? Certainly this concept of role modeling came up, right? Sure. If we act like entitled jerks, they're not going to be the most gracious and appreciative creatures on the planet. But a very smart mom pointed out, if it was as simple as role modeling, our kids would already be doing this in many cases. So there's something else going on. And what is that something else? And as I dug into this, I learned that development has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. So moms and dads and teachers, it's not that your kids are terrible people or that you are doing a terrible job. Research is showing that gratitude is associated with emotional maturity. So the kind of gratitude that I can feel and express at this point in my life, it's really unreasonable to expect an 11-year-old to do the same thing.
An 11-year-old who is completely all about the 11-year-old.
Which is developmentally appropriate
for
11. And there's some researchers in North Carolina who dug into this. And as they've teased apart, you know, what is gratitude? Because it's more than just a reflex saying thank you. Sure. Anybody can do that, but it doesn't mean you really feel gratitude or you feel appreciation for it. And so they realized that this whole process involves the skills of perspective taking. You have to be able to see and have a sense of what that other person might be thinking.
Absolutely. Stepping into someone else's shoes, which is not an easy step for many boys.
Especially if you recall our conversation with Ryan Wexelblatt ADHD dude. Boys and girls, but children with ADHD in particular can struggle with perspective taking. So it might not be that your son is an entitled jerk. It's likely that he is still developing these skills.
That's such a relief. What's the difference as our kids are developing? Okay, we know a 3 and 4 and 5 year old isn't going to stretch much past saying please and thank you. But as they move into middle school, as they move into high school, are there developmental shifts that we can be watching for?
Yes, and I was surprised to learn this. First of all, this is a very, very new area of research. It wasn't until 2005 that psychologists and others really started digging into gratitude and children and really studying how children express it and their experience of it. What they have found so far is that gratitude is strongly correlated with life satisfaction, which is certainly a reason for us to work to nurture this in our kids. And it has different benefits at different ages. So according to some research, young adolescents ages 11 to 13 who were grateful, so an appreciation of what they've been given, of what they have, they are happier and more optimistic. They have better social support and are more satisfied with their, you know, their school, their community, their peer group, and they are better able to give emotional support to others.
Their empathy is developing.
Empathy, exactly. And I think that goes back to that perspective taking. Yeah. And then as they mature, it goes further out into the world. The researchers found that teenagers, grateful teens in like the 14 to 19 range, were more satisfied with their lives overall, and they use their strengths to better their community. And they're very involved in their schools and hobbies. They're less depressed, less envious, and less materialistic.
This makes me think of all the kids. Well, it makes me think of Greta for sure, but it makes me think of all the kids that are out there volunteering. They're doing food drives. They're collecting coats. They're seeing outside of their tiny little family, little world, and having that expansion, which is perfectly, absolutely age appropriate for teenagers. Can we expect this in our sixth graders? Likely not. And that's okay. So the reassurance comes that it is being developed and you will see it appear later in life and know that if you are putting certain things in place along the way, you are going to have a wonderful adult.
I think that's so important because when I posed this question, one somebody asked me in return was, how do you get your kids to volunteer for the soup kitchen or your local food bank? And I hesitated to respond because making your kid do those things, I don't think is particularly effective.
No, you can't make them, but it becomes a family culture thing.
Exactly.
And you do this as a family. And we spend one Saturday a month raking leaves for the neighbors or whatever it is. That is where gratitude and appreciation and recognition of the other. You know, I think one of the, speaking of the other, and the in Portland, we have a ton of homeless people. And it is across the country. I mean, it's epidemic. And it's so troubling. And I remember having conversations with my kids about this when we would drive past somebody at the stop sign or the grocery store. And can you give to every single person? And it just pulls on your heart so much. And so what we did in our little town was we had like a little plastic bag of emergency supplies, like Band-Aids, toothbrush, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when it was possible to do that, then we had a snack or something tangible to give to that person. But the conversation was, can we help everybody? No. Can we help some people some of the time? So it's that place of appreciation for what you have and the place where you can share what you have with others.
You mentioned neighbors before. And for some of us anyway, that might be a really good way to begin teaching gratitude. So we have been extremely fortunate. We have, I would call them the best neighbors on the planet. We've lived next to them now for nearly 19 years, but they are the kind of people where if we ever need anything, they do it. He gets the snowblower out. We're not out yet. He does ours as well. If we need to borrow anything, just go in the shed and get it. If they make a dessert for something and there's extras, a plate shows up on my table, right? So that's allowed me a lot of opportunities to talk with my children about, wow, isn't this wonderful how they help us out? They had extra, they shared it with us. And as my kids have seen that, they have become very willing. If Beth and Bob are gone, we'll do their sidewalks. We'll take care of their stuff. So learning to accept and rely on others and how that is mutually beneficial. When kids can see that in action in a relationship, it's growing those emotional muscles that lead eventually to gratitude and to empathy and to recognizing and considering the needs of others.
And another angle that I feel is important to foster in our children is wonder and awe. And it's what you said about developing this appreciation for the other, but it's also that place of developing appreciation for this world that we live in, for the stars in the galaxy, and having that sense of wonder. And what I have noticed now that we are in the age of Google, when a question comes up, it might just be adults gathered together. When a question comes up, you know, how far does a monarch butterfly travel to its winter home? Google it. Or how many people have swum the English Channel? Google it. And there's less place to just sit around and ponder and wonder. And what do you think about that? And what if it were like that? And so having these conversations with your kids builds their imagination, and it builds the deep appreciation for the wonder of a butterfly that can fly all the way to Mexico. That's incredible. Who knows how many thousands of miles that is, but that's not what matters. That's what Google can tell us. But what matters is this wonder and awe that this creature can travel such distances. So I think that bringing in that wonder and that awe also helps to amplify the appreciation, the gratitude that we've been talking about.
I do think we have to be a little bit careful, because some of our boys especially, being able to find out exactly how far or how many monarchs make that journey is what fuels their wonder.
Yes. And there's a place for both.
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe that place is not making Google the first stop. The first place is, well, what do you think? What's your guess? What, you know, what are all the factors involved in a butterfly flying to Mexico? And then, oh, well, okay, let's do some fact checking, because Google really is facts. It's not the wonder. It's not the imagination.
So when I think about wonder and awe, I do think about the natural environment. You mentioned the stars, trees, forests, rivers, lakes, Grand Canyon, all of those things. And I think it is directly related to gratitude, because when you feel wonder, and specifically when you feel awe, you are usually reminded how small you are.
Yeah.
That there's so much beyond me, and I am just a tiny little part of that. And if you think about it, that's really this realization that's kind of at the root of gratitude. It, realizing that the world does not revolve around me.
Which goes back to the developmental steps of gratitude, is coming out of that place where the world revolves around me and moving into, oh, there's other people in the world. And there's, yes, being out in nature is a place that definitely fosters gratitude.
And often when we do go out to nature, we don't take our creature comforts with us, right? So when I take my boys camping, we have shelter, but it's a tent and we're all boom right here together. There's no privacy. Do we have warm sleeping bags? Yep. We also have these skinny little sleeping pads, which are not exactly as comfortable as our beds. Those little hardships do help make them more appreciative for what we have at home. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it helps to step out of your comfort zone and take away some of the comforts that we are so accustomed to.
So I think the whole idea around gratitude and getting really uptight about, you know, is my kid going to be entitled? Is he doesn't have a single gratitude bone in his body, is the encouragement to simply relax. I'm going to guess all of our listeners are living a good life. They are kind. They are generous as they can be. And it's all going to be okay. There's not a quick answer here. It is step by step over time. We are going to pause now for the special message from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll have some concrete tips for you on how to instill gratitude with your children.
Boys deserve a simple, effective skincare regimen designed just for them. Developed by a group of boy moms, including a pediatric dermatologist, Strike Club's body wash and face wash are skin clearing, non-drying, and boy-friendly. Save 10% when you use discount code ONBOYS at strikeclub.com. That's STRYKE club.com, discount code ONBOYS. I want to give a couple concrete suggestions because I always appreciate those. There's a research project out of UNC Chapel Hill. They did a study called Raising Grateful Children. And they found that there's really four parts to gratitude. We notice something for which we are grateful. Then there's how we think about why we have been given those things, how we feel about what we've been given, and then what we do to express appreciation. So notice, think, feel, and do are the four parts of gratitude. And the researchers noticed that young children pretty much only do. They say thank you because we prompt them. We can ask questions to help our children develop the notice, the think, and the feel part. So when your child receives a gift, for instance, you can ask them to think about, you know, well, why did somebody do that for them? Asking those kinds of questions helps them develop that perspective taking and appreciate it on a different level. And even something like, well, how did you feel then? It encourages a pause to, oh, I was really surprised. I was excited. I was happy. Or it might even be, well, I was uncomfortable because why? I don't understand why they did that for me. Mm-hmm. Taking a few moments as your child goes through life to ask some questions can help you dig deeper. You'll better understand your child. And you're helping them develop these gratitude muscles.
Well, and the flip side of that too, Jen, is when a child gives someone a gift and
yes.
can reflect back to them, did you see their eyes light up? Did you see grandma smile when you gave them that gift and or whatever it is, when hug or whatever, but that you are then helping them see the other perspective even before they're able to kind of take it in.
Yes,
and
yes.
themselves.
And it will help us if we also notice those things. Mm-hmm. So my kids can come across just as entitled as anybody else is around the holidays, right? This list of I want, I want, I want, I want. But if I really watch and pay attention, what I love most about the holidays, my kids actually get the most excited about getting presents for each other because, you know, they have their own unique relationships and unique understanding of each other's interests. And they really find joy and take pleasure in finding something for each other. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so when I take the time to notice that, I'm more accepting of where they're at instead of focusing on all you ever do is want, want, want.
The list. Yes.
One other thing I suggest, especially with boys, Look at their interest. What things are they passionate about? So you said before, we cannot help everybody. We can't donate to every cause. But if you can find ways to contribute and to give towards organizations or interests that your kids are passionate about, you're going to have a whole lot better luck. So dragging my guys to work at a food bank might not be the most successful, but my passionate fishermen really do care about preserving the environment and taking care of the water. Yes, it directly benefits them, but that's a way they can begin to see their part in taking part of the larger world and being grateful for what they have.
I have a good friend who keeps a gratitude jar on her kitchen table with little slips of paper. Every time I go to her house, I sit at the kitchen table and put a little slip in the gratitude jar, and her kids often will put a slip in as well. And so there's also tangible ways of working gratitude into your life. A gratitude jar, you can have a gratitude chalkboard and say, this great thing happened today. And it is those conversations around, you know, wow, my teacher let me have an extra day for my home to turn in my homework. It can be as simple as that. But wow, she really went an extra step for you.
I love that gratitude jar idea. I keep thinking I'm going to do it and I haven't yet done it. So maybe this will be the year. I've heard people say that some of them do that in lieu of New Year's resolutions, that they sort of commit to focusing on gratitude and then they spend New Year's Eve reviewing. I wouldn't wait a whole year if you have kids. Like,
yeah,
do it once a week or once a month. Look at what's in there, because that reflection on it, again, you're thinking about it.
Yes.
So you're building that portion of gratitude.
More attention to what you have and what you want, and less attention to all the things that aren't going the way you'd like them to go. My cousin also has a gratitude journal, and she has kept a gratitude journal for 22 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think gratitude has come into the popular lexicon, fueled by people like Brené Brown and really having a focus on this. And I'm grateful for that, because we need more focus on the positive things that are happening in the world, the goodness that is happening in the world. Our good friend Maggie Dent from Australia said, you know, our kids need more images and more stories about the goodness that is happening in the world that will outweigh all the other images that they see, all the other stories that they hear.
And that is what the science shows, how those gratitude journals work and why they're so effective. I saw yesterday a study where they had three groups. One wrote every day about things they were grateful for. One made a list of irritations from the day, things that pissed them off. And then the other ones just wrote about whatever was on their mind. Janet, guess which group was more satisfied with their life and more optimistic at the end of the experiment?
The first one.
Yes. And it makes sense. I have to remind myself of this so often. We all do this with our kids in our lives. It's very easy to focus on what's wrong. There's always going to be something wrong.
And it's human nature. It
is
human nature. That is what helped us survive, was focusing on those things.
Mm-hmm.
But now we can shift into a new place.
Encouraging your children to deliberately list or talk about things they're grateful for can be especially helpful if you have a child who struggles with anxiety or depression. And I know this personally, because when you have those conditions, your brain easily can spiral into this place of everything that is wrong. And it's helpful if somebody helps you to pause and almost forces you to acknowledge, hey, there's good stuff going on here as well.
I would love to leave our listeners with this quote that I came across as I was thinking about gratitude. It's anonymous. I don't know who said it, but it is, we cannot force someone to hear a message they are not ready to receive, but we must never underestimate the power of planting a seed.
Let's plant seeds of gratitude, let's water them, and let's watch our children grow. Thanks for joining us. We are Jennifer L.W. Fink and Janet Allison, and we are here to support you in parenting and teaching tomorrow's men.